Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The NFL very quickly came to an agreement on testing so that players can return to their facilities. Some of the details go like this. You got to have more than one negative test to get into the building. As rookies start to report over the next few days across the league and training camps, all are supposed to be open by next Tuesday. You'll get tested every day. Every player and every staff member tested every single day for the first 2 weeks of training camp. The league will then assess things. If the positive rate is below 5%, the testing protocol will go to every other day. No word on what happens if it's above 5%. I imagine everyday testing would continue. If somebody tests positive but they're asymptomatic, they can return 10 days later or after two negative tests. If they test positive and they are showing symptoms, they can't return until at least 10 days after their symptoms started and at least 72 hours after their symptoms have cleared up. So that's the grand outline of how the testing protocol will work. What will also happen, Colin, is they've agreed to no preseason games as well, the NFL and its players.
Yeah, that's interesting because isn't that, for me, that's one of the, maybe the biggest takeaway from all this. Well, actually, the biggest takeaway is the overarching takeaway, that the players crowed, the players went on social media, they talked about the health and safety, and things got done real quick. I mean, real quick. And the owners know where their bread is buttered here. This is a little bit different. This is a full season. This isn't trying to figure out like Major League Baseball did, trying to squeeze in some season or whatever. No, this is the players, and the players doing it the right way, too. They didn't talk about money. They didn't talk about compensation.
Right.
They didn't say cry poor mouth. So that's the biggest takeaway, the expeditious way with which this got ironed out after they seemingly dragged their feet for months. But the part about no preseason is – you know, it's not just the Ramon Fosters of the world, the undrafted free agents and guys like that. This is a real tough sell now for guys that are six-round picks or guys that are late-round picks to get enough reps. The evaluation process has to be extremely streamlined, and it has to be something where maybe even a lot of the evaluation was done for those late-round picks on a transferable level into kind of a what you think it transfers from their college game into the pro game, and you almost have to evaluate that if they make the team or not.
Yeah, it's, I mean, if we're talking about, for example, you know, that defensive lineman they took from Nebraska, an interior defensive lineman, how do you show that you're ready to go in training camp practices? And again, we don't know what training camp practices are going to look like over on the South, or at Heinz Field, pardon me. And if you're, and to cut it across all teams, if you're a sixth or seventh round draft pick, I don't know. I guess it cuts both ways, though. If you're a team, how do you decide that a guy isn't ready? Maybe not to play right away, but to not be a part of the roster going forward. You're going to need bodies. The rosters will have to be deeper than ever before. You'll have to trust in guys that are at the depths of your roster more than you ever have before because you don't know when somebody might be held out.
There should be a great ballooning of the practice squad here and a great ballooning of a taxi squad here, I think, is the resolution until at least until COVID is sort of swept away. That to me is you should have guys at your disposal that are within your organization but not necessarily part of your active squad, I think.
Well, it should almost look – and look, I understand that the initial knee-jerk response from someone is going to be, oh, you want more players involved. Well, yeah, to be quite honest, I I feel like each team should be able to call upon. It should be like a college roster. You should have like a three deep at this point. You know, you should, because again, you don't know when a guy is going to have to stay away for a few days or maybe longer or maybe be held out altogether for a couple of weeks. And as you're, especially as you're trying to ramp up and get guys ready to play football, it's these practices are not going to be full go for a while. There's going to be, we talk about the elimination or the reduction of preseason snaps for veterans and how it's impacted the first few weeks of the regular season over the last decade or so. Imagine what the first 3 to 4 weeks of the regular season are going to look like now, given the fact that you're going to have, I would imagine, fewer training camp snaps and then zero preseason snaps. There's going to be a lot of rust to shake off early on for these guys.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and on top of that, too, I mean, this was going to be a training camp, even if it went ahead as planned, that had a lot less reps. I just think tackling is going to be terrible. There's going to be big plays. There's going to be busted plays. I actually think the defense is going to look awful. I think that there will be big offensive plays, and there'll be broken assignments. I think it'll be more communication than it will be physical stuff. People not knowing where they're supposed to be, not lining up before the whistle, or excuse me, before the snap, and just a lot of moving parts in and around the time of the snap, and defenses will be caught off guard.
Yeah, a quarterback developing chemistry with an offensive line or an offensive line developing chemistry within itself, you're not going to have nearly as much time for those things to happen either. So you're right, miscommunication on the offensive side, blown assignments on the defensive side. It could be sloppy football for a while to get things started with zero preseason action and reduced camp snaps as well. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminding you to text responsibly. We know now that there will be no fans at the Steelers opener against the Giants in New Jersey. Would it be better if there were just a blanket policy put in place about fans in the stands across sports for the rest of the year? We discuss what we mean next on the Fan Morning Show. It's official now. No fans at Giants or Jets games at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. It was announced by New Jersey's governor, Phil Murphy, yesterday that his limits on gatherings to 500 people at outdoor gatherings will apply to the local NFL team. So no fans in the Meadowlands when the Steelers, for example, visit the Giants for that opener the second week of September. And each state is ruling on these things individually. You know, I remember us talking about a month and a half ago, Colin, about, well, what if this team or that team is allowed to have fans in the ballpark for baseball games, but these teams aren't? What do we do? But nobody's making a blanket policy, whether it's the leagues, whether it's the government. There's no overarching, overriding national policy on, well, fans are allowed in or fans aren't allowed in.
Well, here's the, like, I'm all for people making money if they can, and they should be able to. But we're so all over the place about this. And some things are recommendations. Nothing seems like it's a law. Some things, then people are, you know, raise their eyebrow at you if you do this or do that. So figure this one out for me. So the Steelers can't play in front of fans in New York, in New Jersey, I guess, right? Whenever they play their opener. That was decided yesterday, correct? Philadelphia says they're not having fans at their at the Eagles or Phillies games this year. Let's say there's a way that the Steelers can, but there's still this sort of quarantine sort of thing if you travel from different states. And the Steelers figure out a way that they can play in front of fans this year. And you drive here from Delaware. Do you have to drive 2 weeks early before you go to a Steeler game and sit in a hotel?
Yeah, I guess you're out of luck unless you can spend 2 weeks sitting around doing nothing.
But that's just a recommendation from the governor. That's not any sort of law. It would be easier to understand if there was just a federal mandate on no games with fans all year. But I just saw a soccer game in Louisville, Kentucky, with 4,800 people or whatever that involved the Pittsburgh team.
Well, without getting political, because we're not good with politics. The federal government has shown they're not going to really mandate anything at the federal level. They're going to let the states make decisions on their own. So I wonder if at any point the leagues would feel compelled to come up with policies, or if they're going to continue to just let things happen on a market-by-market basis. I, like you, think if there's a city where it is safe enough to let a couple fans into a building to watch a game, I'm okay with that if it's deemed safe in that city. If it's not in another city, then hey, I guess that's the way it is. But I don't know if leagues have an appetite for creating national policies about their venues at this point.
Right. I just know this, that like that this virus doesn't look at a state line and go, wait a minute, I'm not going in there, or I'm more apt to go in there. It's just it's not making any sense to me. It just isn't making any sense to me.
Yeah,
like no one's ever driven
piecemeal.
From. Yeah, like no one's ever driven from Louisville, Kentucky to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's why trying to piecemeal 50 different things together is a disaster sometimes. It turns out to be a mess instead of having one overarching policy at the top that sort of oversees things. But, yeah, it doesn't look like we're any closer to fans being in buildings, that's for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.